It's the Midnight Radio Network. Eric Harley, Gary McNamara, you. Welcome to Ask the Law for January 5th, 2009. We are live. We'll get to national weather. Gary, how are you?
Great. And how was your long vacation? It seems like it's been months since I've seen you, and it's actually only been about, 10 days?
You know, it's only been 10 days. It does feel like it's been a long, long time. It's like I was, I told my wife coming into the weekend, I said, I can't believe I've got another full weekend left. It feels like I've been, like, on hospital stay. You know, when you're, I've never been out that long for an illness, but that's what it kind of what it felt like.
And just
like,
so you know, we'll discuss this a little bit later on. I did not make it into Buffalo by plane. I got in by bus. That story coming up for you.
Wow. I almost sent you a text and said, okay, did you make it? Everything okay? And I thought, you know, I won't bother him on his break.
A mile and a half from the runway in Buffalo. Last time it was over Detroit, and they had to turn the plane around and come back. That was two Christmases ago. This time, a mile from the runway, the winds were so great we had to come up and then head to Rochester, New York, where we had to sit in this tarmac for over an hour because the airport was basically closed. There was nobody there to let our plane into the gate.
So it wasn't for weather, it's just that there was no one there.
That was at the Rochester Airport.
Right,
but we were a mile from the runway when the winds were so great at Buffalo.
Right.
We had to take up and go over there, and so then we had to take a bus in. So about 14 hours after I was supposed to be in, I got in this year, so. Mom and Dad, you're coming down to visit me next year.
Where it's nice and warm.
Right, end of
story. The day after Christmas, me and my kids were running around in shorts and T-shirt. It was 82 degrees. We drove by a bank. 82 degrees.
Now,
I was running my air conditioner.
Now, you see this here. I mean, normally I would, knowing that, you know, Monty was going to be in, I would shave.
Yeah.
But my face got sunburned Friday and Saturday to the point where I didn't want to irritate my face anymore.
That was weird because I've been walking around just glancing past mirrors. My daughter keeps telling me your face is red. Your face is red. And I guess it's because I've been outside so much, which is rare when we're working because we're sleeping during the day. But welcome to Ask the Law. Of course, this is Ask the Law for January 5th, 2009. And we are here with retired senior trooper Monty Dial from the Texas Highway Patrol. Ask the Law is brought to you as a public service by Old Blue USA. Now, the information and answers to questions are up to date and they can change without notice. CMV drivers can always get help at askthelaw.org. Monty! How are you? Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
Hey, you got to do something that you haven't done ever. I think you went to New York City over the holidays.
Yes, in the 31 years that I've worked, I've never had time off around Christmas, and my wife and daughter and I decided that we were going to go. You always hear lots of stories.
Yeah.
About Christmases in New York.
Right.
We decided we were going to go up there and enjoy the scenery.
Wow. And how was it? Was it great?
It was great.
They had some snow a few days before Christmas. Now, was it that while you were there?
Yes. It started snowing Friday and snowed pretty much all day Friday on us.
Yeah.
Friday. Then Saturday, we went and did some more and went to Central Park.
Wow.
Got in one of the little buggies they got. And I got to see Central Park all dressed in white.
Did you get anybody to mug you or anything like that? Take your shoes or anything?
No.
Because you can do that. You can actually hire guys to mug you, you know, just to show off to your family and stuff, you know. It's great to have you here. And drivers, if you want to get through at 800-288-9227, let's open the lines for our very first Ask the Law program for 2009. 800-288-9227. And my mind is kind of foggy. Gary and I was trying to think of a word earlier, simple word, and so it's going to be one of those nights trying to get back into the swing of things here. But I have trouble remembering since our last visit, which was the 1st of December. I don't think it had happened before then. But Public Citizen has come through again, has sued the FMCSA. Who are they suing now?
Well, here again, they have filed a brief with the court.
Okay.
I pretty much call it a shot across the bow.
Pretty much.
And they're back to the And I think the Teamsters and OIDA
right.
have joined them.
Right.
And their contention is the 11 hours of driving
yeah.
and the 34-hour reset.
They want that. I'm assuming that now Public Citizen has said before they would like to see the driving no more than 8 hours per day. Although I didn't see that anywhere in any of the reports that I read about this latest lawsuit or filing.
Right.
Is it 10 hours that they want
yes.
as a maximum?
Yes. They're willing to concede up to the 10 hours of maximum driving.
Mm-hmm.
They still want the 10-hour off, and they want the 34-hour reset done away with.
Right. You know, the 34-hour reset, I've always thought is where the FMCSA and the experts they've used could come out and make a really great case. You know, I'm surprised to see OOIDA on this because that 34-hour restart allows that driver to get back, you know, to making money. And in today's economy, it's tougher because if these drivers are getting paid by the mile, I think that they should have every opportunity, within reason,
yes.
to get back out, just my opinion, to get back out there and make some money. And if that includes a 34-hour restart, where the design is that you should have at least two full rest breaks in that 34 hours, it's essentially a day and a half off.
Mm-hmm.
And in that day and a half, I know in the weekends, the way I sleep at home, and Gary, maybe you can attest to this, I don't know what your schedule is like, you know, Gary, but on the overnight schedule, I go home on Friday. I get out of here at 5 a.m. I go home and sleep till noon or 1. Then I get up, and then I sleep again from midnight until 8 the next morning. And then I sleep again from probably 10 p.m., 11 p.m. Saturday night until 5 or 6, maybe 7 o'clock on Sunday morning. And then I get up for most of the day and then go to bed around 2 or 3 on Sunday afternoon. So I get in 4 solid rest breaks
right.
in there. You
right.
know, and again, I think what this comes down to for me is that the fact that I don't care who it is, and I know what OOIDA is. I know what their concern is. Their concern is that companies are pushing drivers as soon as your you know, time is up, your 10-hour break is up, they're on the horn, the truck better be rolling.
Right.
But on the other side of that, those drivers who are getting paid by the mile, I think should have every opportunity and not be limited by government regulation. Again, just my opinion. 800-288-9227. Drivers, if you want to get through, we have an open line for you on Ask the Law. If you have a question about hours of service or the regulations, again, retired senior trooper Monty Dial is here from the Texas Highway Patrol. He has been a part of this program, as has the entire crew there at Old Blue USA, which includes R.J. Taylor. They have made this possible for years and years and years, starting a brand new year here. Let's get in your questions at 800-288-9227.
Let's go to Ernest in Detroit. Ernest, hi, you're on the Midnight Radio Network and you're on Ask the Law. Hi, Ernest.
Hey, good morning.
Hey.
Listen, I'm a truck driver. I drive for a private contractor. I drive a salt rig, and I salt these roads up here in Michigan, and I have been forced to work shifts that exceeded 20 hours, and I'm wondering what the laws would be here in Michigan as far as the amount of hours I'm allowed to drive as a private contractor. I'm not an over-the-road driver, but I'm wondering what kind of laws there might be.
Well, Ernest, you bring up a very good point in that if you say you drive a saltwater truck?
A salt truck. I salt the road.
For the roads.
Oh, salt truck for the roads.
Correct.
Is it done for the state itself?
No, it's not. I work for a private company doing hotels and shops and offices and not the roads. I do parking lots and so on, but I've been forced to drive, as I say, over 20 hours in one shift before, and I listen to you guys every night, and I was wondering if that if the laws apply to me, being I'm not an over the road driver.
How big of a truck do you drive?
Sometimes I drive an 11,000-pound GVW truck with a hopper on the back. Sometimes I'm driving a Sterling with a big Mercedes-Benz diesel in it. It depends on the route that they give me. Sometimes it's a big truck with a 20-yard dump on the back, and sometimes it's a smaller dump truck.
I'm going to say, Ernest, and here again, a lot of it is going to depend on what type of regulations the state of Michigan has adopted. Most of them have adopted different rules for the drivers that stay within the state. And that may be why you're not being regulated, is because you don't operate a vehicle that is big enough to fall under the regulations.
Okay.
Now, what are they? Now, what are they telling you? What is the company telling you, Ernest? That you have to do? And are they referring to any regulations or exemptions?
No, they're not. They're just get the work done. You know,
yeah.
It doesn't matter how many hours it takes. We got to get the lots cleared and safe, and you know.
Now, Monty, if he's at 11,000 pounds, he's not up to regulation to where he would be.
A lot of it is going to depend on at what point does the state of Michigan subject the vehicle, at what weight they become subject to the regulation.
Yeah.
As an example, in Texas, if you stay within the state of Texas, you're not subject to the regulations until you get up to 26,000 pounds.
Right, okay.
Now, if you're crossing the state lines, you become subject at 10,000 pounds.
Okay.
So it could be that the state of Michigan and the employer may know that the vehicles are not going to be subject to the regulations up to whatever the weight is, and if that's the case, then they're not even subject to any regulations at all.
Ernest, is there anything, any such thing as a safety director on staff there at your company, or is it just a basic staff?
Not just a basic staff. We have no safety director.
What I would do is I would direct him to the state.
Yeah, contact the Michigan and pose a question to them be sure you tell them intrastate. And find out what weight they say the vehicles are regulated.
Yeah, give them all the information on the types of trucks you drive, and where you drive, and how long your hours are. Give them as much information as you can, and contact the Michigan DMV. They should be able to help you there. That's a really great question. And Ernest, listen, we're going to be on every first Monday of the month. If you want to send us an email, or go to askthelaw.org and maybe send them an email when you find out any information, we would appreciate that.
Okay, hey, you guys keep up the show. I listen to you all the time. You keep me up at night. I get a good sense of humor
great.
Every once in a while out of you guys.
We appreciate it.
Enjoy it.
Well, thank you, Ernest. We do appreciate it, and Happy New Year to you, and we hope you find that answer. And that is one thing, is that we've got, you know, as the lower 48 here, we've got 48 different sets of rules for intrastate drivers and different weights and everything else. So contact the state of Michigan and see if we can't get you an answer there. We'll get you national weather coming up at 33 past and more with Monty right after this.
On the Midnight Radio Network.
And more. And if you would like to get on board, it is Ask the Law for January 5th, 2009 at 800-288-9227.
It's the Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law, 800-288-9227. Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
That's right. It's Ask the Law for January 5th, 2009. We are live with the retired senior trooper, Monty Dial from the Texas Highway Patrol, and Ask the Law of Public Service, so Old Blue USA and the Midnight Trucking Network. Listen, the information and answers and are up to date and can change without notice. CMV drivers can always get help at askthelaw.org. They'll get your answers to you as soon as possible. Askthelaw.org. If you'd like to get through, we have an open line at 800-288-9227, 800-288-9227. We were talking during the break. One of the things that comes out of a lot of these guys that go into maybe changing careers or something, going into a local route, like Ernest, the last driver, maybe he hasn't had a lot of over-the-road experience. Maybe they had military experience, but there's a lot of either misinformation or non-information, lack of information out there. Ernest says there's not even a safety director at his company as far as the drivers are concerned. I'm certain they probably have somebody that kind of, you know, legally handles that, but it's not their full-time job, so he's not going to have the attention of a fleet.
Correct.
That somebody might be calling him on. So I was just talking to my cousin Vinny, a few hours ago, and he's leased on to a great company and loves it and says that they, you know, they will stop what they're doing and take care of drivers, you know, questions and make sure that they get the right answer back to them and everything else. So if you don't get that, you know, we always we'll always direct you to askthelaw.org, which is the great website of Old Blue USA. But also, you can go to your local DMV, commercial vehicle enforcement, always willing to help.
Yes, they are.
Or hurt.
Yeah, the if you'll always check with your state CMV personnel,
yeah.
They can usually give you the answers that you need. Also, a lot of the states have trucking associations, and they will give you a lot of the information that you need.
Right, right. So, drivers, if you want to get on board at 800-288-9227, coming up, Mike has a comment. We'd love to hear from you at 800-288-9227 if you have a question about regulations. And we'll also talk about some speculation about the Mexican truck pilot program and what many people are thinking may happen after the inauguration, which is coming up here in a couple of weeks. So we'll get to that and more here in just a few minutes and maybe get your thoughts on your questions at 800-288-9227. Gary, once again, expecting maybe a little winter weather where we are, but we're going to wrap all that up in one nice, neat little package.
Mm-hmm.
Weather along the highways coming up at 33 Pass. So stand by for that.
So hang on. This is Ask the Law on the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law. Good morning. Welcome to January 5th.
January 5th, 2009.
That just blows my mind.
Unbelievable.
It doesn't feel right saying that. Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley. Time's just flying too quickly, Eric.
I don't write checks anymore because, really, who writes checks anymore? But if I were, I'd still be writing 2008. And by the way, I just turned 43 over the weekend, but it's okay because I hear 43 is the new 42. we're here, we're live on this January 5th, 2009, with retired senior trooper Monty Dial of the Texas Highway Patrol. Ask the Law, brought to you by R.J. Taylor and Old Blue USA. And you can go to askthelaw.org if you have any questions anytime. And by the way, the answers to questions are up to date. They can change without notice. 800-288-9227. If you'd like to get on board and ask a question about regulations, hours of service, that's always popular. Or any other regulation, we'll do our best to get your answer.
And let's go to Mike in Georgia. Mike, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network, and you're on Ask the Law. Hi, Mike. Welcome.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Fantastic.
Thank you, man. I'm getting a lot, guys. Hey, my question is, how come they keep trying to change stuff? Who are the people or organizations or what's the...
You know what? That's a really good question because there a lot of stuff came out, Mike, at the end of the year that a lot of people were pointing their finger at President Bush that this was a last minute or a midnight ruling, which in other words means in his last hours of his presidency, his last days of his presidency, he was pushing a lot of things through. Actually, what it was is the culmination of lawsuits that go back years. In fact, the first lawsuit came back from 2003. Even before the very first hours of service rule change of January 4th of 2004. I remember the day because January 4th is my birthday. And so when all of this started, when Public Citizen went in and started suing, and all this started going back and forth, they had to come out and make decisions. There were judges involved. The FMCSA was involved on the other side of those lawsuits. And then they sued again. The Public Citizen sued again, and they had to change the rule. They changed the rule in 2005, and this is the October 2005 rule that we're on now, that we operate under now. They sued again, not as successful this time. They filed, with the courts again, and the, U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in D.C. came back and asked the FMCSA to take another look at it. They weren't satisfied, Monty, with a few things. The 34-hour restart. They weren't satisfied that the FMCSA essentially did their homework.
Correct.
And so they asked them to go back and kind of show how they came to those conclusions, those rulemakings.
Right. What happens is it basically boiled down to the fact that the court stepped in and basically told FMCSA, you did not go about it in the proper procedure.
Right.
You did not follow your own protocol in getting these rules changed. They since went back, republished their notice, had the hearings, everybody commented, and then once all of that was done, they sat down, reviewed the thousands and thousands and thousands of pages of documents, and once it was all said and done with, they basically came back with the same rules that have been in effect since October of 2005.
Yeah. So there we are now. FM or Public Citizen, along with a couple of other groups, OOIDA, you said was part of it,
OOIDA and the Teamsters.
They are going in and they're contesting essentially the 34-hour restart. But I think even more importantly to them, the 11 hours of drive time per day, because they believe that it forces drivers to be on the road for that period of time. Their contention is and I'm just paraphrasing here, that these companies are forcing these drivers to drive way too long each day. My concern is that for those who want to drive, then they should be able to drive out there, for a reasonable period. And I think that 11 hours of drive time is reasonable. I think it's within reason. Great question. Thank you so much, Mike. We do appreciate that. That opens up a line at 800-288-9227. There are groups right now that are concerned with the Gary and I have had many concerns with the Mexican truck pilot program, which has been going on, gosh, it seems like forever. But the groups that are concerned about it right now, I know the Teamsters are a part of that, and the OIDA is a part of that as well.
Yes.
We side with them for different reasons. We side with them because we don't believe it's a two-way commerce connection. We don't believe that there is anything inviting about this at all, about this entire scenario for American drivers to go into Mexico.
Well, actually, the big problem we have is, I mean, every country is going to have their advantages and disadvantages, whether it's labor, productivity, or whatever. The problem that we have with any free trade agreement is if you don't have the infrastructure set up from the government to ensure the property rights of the businesses from the other country in your country, then you cannot have any type of free trade agreement. That's
exactly
the problem that we
so
have with the truck industry over there.
There's nothing that makes it attractive at all for drivers to go in there. In fact, they have every reason to stay out of Mexico. There's way too many problems with the infrastructure on several different levels. First of all, security for those drivers from the Mexican cartels. The highway infrastructure, which has improved over the years, but still not up to standards for as far as the United States is concerned. And then the fuel infrastructure, which does not provide for ultra-low sulfur diesel fuel widely enough, does not provide for what drivers need. Maybe cheaper fuel, but if you're driving an EPA 07 engine or newer, then you're kind of out of luck because they just don't have that ULSD on a wide basis down there. So we've had concerns with it. While we're both free traders, we've had concerns with it. Now you have others, other individuals, who have essentially gotten in the mix and, for whatever concerns they have, OOIDA and Teamsters included there. And there's a lot of talk that the new administration, President-elect Obama, will come in and put a stop to the pilot project. But one thing that's not really expanded on in these news stories that cover this, that have been out for a few days now, is the fact that if they do away with the pilot project, it doesn't necessarily close the doors to Mexico.
No.
Or vice versa.
No.
It just does away with
this
project.
It does away with this pilot program that's going on right now.
And Gary and I have warned about this for a long, long time. and not that we agree with the pilot program or we agree with, you know, the Mexican truck program at all. But it doesn't mean that it's going away just because they do away with the pilot program.
Right, that's the pilot program that the administration put in because the courts came to the administration and said, listen, the Mexican truck program is part of NAFTA.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Congress mm-hmm. agreed to this.
Right.
Congress is the one that would have to renegotiate NAFTA with Mexico in order to stop it. So you, and President Bush has gotten a lot of blame for this, that this is the administration, this is Bush's deal. Bush was told by the court, you need to start implementing something
right.
to get this thing done because the court said this is the law. It's
right.
the law of the land because Congress in the 90s said,
yeah.
legislated this.
That this
is a law.
Happen.
You've
right.
got to abide by it.
Right, right. So here we are, and there's a lot of concern that that will happen, or I guess maybe people are actually gleeful that that would happen, that the new administration would walk in and just nix the entire pilot project, but the program itself wouldn't go away.
Oh, no, no, because here it's like Gary was saying, you know, NAFTA includes Canada,
mm-hmm.
United States,
mm-hmm.
and Mexico.
Right.
And there are thousands and thousands of drivers that cross the Canadian and U.S. borders.
Right.
So if you did away with NAFTA, you would have to do away with those crossings on the north side.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's not going to happen.
And, right. and the administration can't, whether it's the Obama administration or the Bush administration, they can't come in and piecemeal this thing.
Right.
They can't, the administration of Obama can't come in tomorrow and say, all right, listen, we don't like this part of NAFTA,
mm-hmm.
Therefore we're just not going to abide by it.
Right.
That's, in fact, that's why the Clinton administration did ignore it, as the court said,
mm-hmm.
and it was during the Bush administration where they said, listen, you know, you've had 7-8 years that have gone by here at this point. You've got to act on this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what people forget, even something like the NAFTA agreement, that is law. It's legislated by Congress. When Congress legislates something,
mm-hmm.
it's up to the courts to ensure that those laws are enforced, whether a significant portion of the population doesn't agree with it or not.
Right, right.
As law is law.
Right.
Yes.
You bet. And so it'll be interesting to see. I think we're going to see an extremely interesting 2009, as interesting as 2008 was, being the election year that, man, that topped them all, I think. I think 2009 is going to be interesting to see because of the new administration. What will come out of that? And, you know, we had Bill Richardson would have been the new Commerce Secretary, but no, apparently not. And so we'll have to see who is going to be a part of, you know, and the new Transportation Secretary obviously is going to have to stand in front of a truck and cut a ribbon somewhere on a border at some point, like Mary Peters did. We'll see what kind of result they have with it, or if it's just measured with a big, oh, yeah, that we actually sent towards that when Mary Peters did it. It was just kind of laughable at best. But it will be interesting to see. I think 2009 holds a lot for us. All right. Back to your questions. If you want to get on board at 800-288-9227, ask the law. Got a question? Maybe you've always had a question about hours of service. We get plenty of those. But other regulations as well. You can get on board now at 800-288-9227 and top of the hour news in just minutes.
On the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law, 800-288-9227. Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
And we have retired Senior Trooper Monty Dial from the Texas Highway Patrol. He is in studio with us, and we were talking about the new Transportation Secretary. The one that has been chosen is Ray LaHood. He is from Illinois. He is a Republican. He is pro-mass transit. And apparently a very big, big, big spender, according to some reports. In fact, those were some of the earliest reports coming out on him, is that LaHood is known for pork barrel and really loves to throw money at it. So he may be a Republican in name only. Don't know a lot about the guy. But if he is confirmed as Transportation Secretary, it may be interesting to see where he wants to spend that kind of money, what kind of budget he asks for.
I know this is off topic a little bit with Trooper Dial in here, but it doesn't matter whether the government's for mass transit, it's whether the people of the country are for mass transit.
Exactly.
It doesn't
matter.
You can sit there and say, I'm totally mass transit, I want to spend billions.
Yes.
Doesn't mean people will take it.
Exactly. You cannot create the demand, and if there's going to be, you know, 600,000 new government jobs, again, there has to be a demand for those jobs. Otherwise, eventually, those jobs will have to go away because the government will not be able to sustain that very long.
Well, I think this is going to fit into Obama's plan in that, you know, he's wanted to create, what is it, 2 million jobs?
Right.
Yeah.
Over the next year or two.
Right.
To go in and build nothing but roads.
Right, right. So
that he's got all this money that he wants to take and spend on the infrastructure.
Yeah. We got more coming up with Trooper Dial. And if you have a question, get on board.
800-288-9227.